You're listening to Feeding the Mouth That Bites You with Ashley Parrish and Jessica Pfeiffer,
a weekly podcast guide on parenting teens and launching them into the world. As always, we are joined by psychologist and author, Dr. Ken Wilgus.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about good enough parenting.
Oh, good, because that's about where I'm at.
I know. I like that.
Have y'all ever heard of that before?
No.
Well, I hadn't before. I mean, there are plenty of times where I'm like, that's just going to have to be good enough.
But yeah. I mean, we say that term.
Yeah, you do that with your baking projects. Good enough.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah, nailed it. Good enough. I do it with my fourth kid. What are you kidding? You're like, for real, I'm tired.
Well, these are concepts that remind me of how old I am. So, you know, I went through training for psychology in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And so names like, in this case, Daniel Winnicott, who was a psychoanalyst and a pediatrician, had coined the term good enough parenting, which in a specific way was actually talking about parenting small children, but was really gave what I've always remembered as a good kind of thing to aim for. Good enough parenting. And it is weird to see how much this has changed, because parents, I've told you all this before, parents come into my office, they've read my book, and you'd think they're coming into either a vice principal's office or a police station with, you know, we're going to be in trouble with Dr. Wilgus because we haven't done it right. And I'm always surprised by the pressure that has, even in the last 50 years, that have suddenly put up that, you know, I think we're doing it wrong. And it's like, I don't know how to assure parents that, you know, you're probably doing it good enough. We're aiming mm-hmm. for better, but not that you're going to bomb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think like as far as measuring parenting, oftentimes our age group, Jessica and I, the ones that are like in it.
Yeah.
Our measurement is right or wrong. You know, mm-hmm. it's not good, better,
right.
best. It's mm-hmm. right or wrong. Like, are we doing this right? Man, we're getting it wrong. You know,
and don't
mean?
You get
like
that feeling that there's a book out there that you're going to find that'll show you, oh no,
how to be the perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I Feeding the Mouth That Bites You is not that book. Yeah. You know, I really don't want it to be that you're doing it wrong thing.
Yeah.
You know,
and so many parents are using their children's, their teenagers' behavior as a measurement for their success.
Yes.
And so when you say, oh, my kid's screwing up, my kid's in the principal's office, my kid's drinking alcohol or doing drugs, I'm the problem. I'm the parent that's been a failure in some way or another.
I've done it wrong.
I'm a failure.
Yeah.
And I've told you before, that's a uniquely mother problem, because I've had several mothers in my office who have adult children and they are weeping. Because usually they knew one kid was having trouble, but now this other kid I thought was the good one is having trouble. And she wants to know, Dr. Wilgus, where did I go wrong? Yeah. And I'm like, where's your husband? How come it's just you? And I've told you this many times, I'll point out, wait a minute, if your kid's behavior in adolescence and adulthood is your fault, well, then good news, then it's your mother's fault. Then if you didn't parent them right, it's because of your mom. And no, it's just math. Right. Like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. That never had a mom comforted by that. Like, yeah, you're yeah. right. It's like, no.
Yeah.
It's me.
But I've always found freedom in what you've said about raising kids, especially teens, is not a math problem. Like, it's not math. It's not
one sailing.
Plus one equals two. It's sailing. And I've always found freedom in that.
Good.
I just love that. So go ahead and tell us again, Dr. Ken.
Okay. So good enough parenting is the thing I think you should aim for. And, mm-hmm. and that is going to include, and I mean this sincerely, that when you finish raising your kids, like me, I am very happy with the outcome of my children. I guarantee you, I look back on two major categories. Number one, numerous things that we should have done and we did not do it. And number two, numerous things that we did that we shouldn't have done. Things I said, all this stuff that was genuinely mistakes. And that's going to be the case. Looking for a kind of parenting track record where I can say, I don't need my children to rise up and call me blessed. I will call myself blessed because look how good I did is never going to happen. And yeah. so good enough, you know, Daniel Winnicott had actually somehow identified that if you, that you actually need to back off in meeting your child's needs every single time as they get older, and somehow identified if you meet their needs about 30% of the time, then that's plenty for connection. I don't remember how he did that kind of research, but you know, 30% is like, that used to be in the 50s, like, okay, we're winning. Now, you know, 2023, it's like, this is not even close. I need to be there and responding to each thing. So yeah. That thing that, you know, 2 to 4 weeks ago that you completely missed, that I didn't even realize he was doing that, or the teacher called and I was, that thing you feel like you're so out of touch. Yeah. Yeah. Of course. We've all done that. Mm-hmm. You miss stuff. You don't need to be on top of everything. You can't. The yeah. goal is to do better. And Feeding the Mouth particularly is a thing. Look at it this way. If you've never found the book, the worst you're going to do is what probably your parents and most American, or at least Western parents, have been doing for the last 60 years, which is trying to treat teenagers like old children. Mm-hmm. And look, I mean, you know, our listener, you came out, you're not in jail now, probably. I don't know what our listening audience is in prisons, but you know, you're okay. So worst that you can do, because most every parent that we know is working at this. Well, yeah. You know, that it, I just want to try to tell that sheepish parent we didn't do this. Of course you haven't. Well, get going. We have, I forget which episode, but I'm starting Feeding the Mouth late. That's a big one to listen to. Mm-hmm. You know, just aim for good enough, and, you know, because that is the only realistic goal.
Yeah, well, I love that.
We need to give ourselves a little more grace. I think the fact that a parent is sitting in your office paying you money to talk to you about their kid, or even parents who are listening to this podcast, they're genuinely interested parents. They're parents who want to do the right thing.
That's right.
I think when I look back on my parenting, there are a lot of things that I wish I had done different or wish I had known.
That's but right.
I kind of always feel like I was doing the best that I knew how at the time. Yes. And yes. so learned better, I did better.
With the things you knew better and you still didn't do it right. So it's not mm-hmm. always doing the best I could.
Yeah.
But yeah,
there's times I was lazy.
Yeah. But there's other times like that where you're like, you know, I didn't know that then.
I just didn't know it. And I hadn't experienced life. I'd never had an older teenager. I didn't know what I was doing. Right. Second time around, it's a little easier. You know, that sort of thing where you think, okay, I'm learning from my mistakes. I'm trying to do the best I can.
Right.
Getting the help I need when I recognize I need it. So, mm-hmm. you know, I think we need to give ourselves a little more grace. As parents, saying we are not responsible for every single thing that happens in our kids' lives.
That is
also
right.
Giving our kids a little freedom to fail.
Right.
You know, that's part of it too, is recognizing that your kid is not going to be perfect. They're right. not going to make the right grades. They're not going to make the team. They're not going to have it all together. They're going to mess up. They're going to have moral failures.
That's right.
part of being human too.
Because it was part of my life. Mm-hmm. I did stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love
that. It's, and I'll remind you, it's not just good for the parent. It's really good for your teenager. It is important that you not accidentally, if you take responsibility for everything that the teenager has made a mistake on, and this has happened with a teenager in my office, first session, parents coming in, and they try to be very big about it. You know, Dr. Wiggins, he's been kicked out of his school, and we really take responsibility for that, because we know that when he was younger, whatever, without even knowing the teenager, the parent will finish that. And I'll turn to the teenager. I'll go, do you agree with that? That this is your parent's fault? And never does a teenager go, yes, it's, they're like, no, I think it was my fault. And I go, I agree with your kid. I think it's his fault. So, it, you know, you want to be careful that overly scrupulous, I should have been better parenting, can actually reinforce for a teenager, your failures aren't actually your fault. It's all about us, and you don't have to take responsibility for mm-hmm. stuff. So that's number one big reason, is not just for your feeling at peace, but you really don't want to accidentally communicate that everything your teenager does. I've got teenagers that are learning that they're it goes against their nature, but they will critique their parents for everything. Well, I got a zero because you didn't remind me to turn that in or whatever. And you're like, what are you, six? When did you learn that? Oh, wait, do your parents fall for that? Do they actually say, well, you're right? That's not even worthy of being answered. It's not all about what you've done. You are going to be good enough. And more with teenagers, you really want to give them the message. Yeah, I think I might've done that better, but what's that got to do with anything? You could and should have handled that better. So that's number one. The second one is that there's a percentage of parents listening to this that are Christians. And that really does not go with our faith to be continually looking for a kind of perfection. I did it all correct. You know, we will say in the short answer quiz in Sunday school that Jesus died for my sins. But how does that actually play out in your life when you look at these things that you really know I really could and should have done better than that, and I failed? If grace doesn't, if our faith doesn't give us peace in that, then what are we doing? You know, it really is important. And so for those two reasons, one, for your kids' sense of responsibility for their own life, but also number two, for our Christian parents, come on, this isn't just an ideology that we think about once in a while. It's part of daily living of, wow, I really messed that up. I'm going to repent. I'm going to clean up my mess, and I am not going to spend my time beating myself up for not being what I never could have been in the first place, which is perfect.
Right. And I think about our Christian parents too, only because oftentimes I have to check my heart and know that if we trust the Lord, then we trust him.
Right.
Like, we can't only trust him in our finances and then not trust him in parenting our teens.
That's right. But you don't, you grow up every stage of my life, I found an entirely new area that, oh, I don't trust God in this.
And right. Right. Yeah.
I never even considered. Yeah.
Right.
So it's a process.
The Lord's never called me to be a perfect mother to my kids. And in mothering my kids and my teenagers, you know, my faith has an opportunity to grow. And I say opportunity because I can choose to white knuckle things and try to control things, or I can choose to lean more on the Lord, listen more closely, obey and trust him, you know, better.
And accept my failures in that. That's exactly right.
For sure.
That's exactly right. So good enough. Most every parent I know is well within good enough. That's failing or not doing this well or as well as you hope. It's not like there's this cliff you're falling off of. It's just you're going to be on the in the area of good enough. And this hopefully is an opportunity to learn techniques that, and parents give us this all the time, that make you far more effective. And that's great. But it's not like if you don't, or when you make a mistake, you're ruining your child. That is not what we believe.
Yeah. And I just want to give a huge shout out to all of our listeners. We're just so stinking grateful that you tune in, and that, you know, those of you that have purchased the book and read the book and tune in every week to listen to our podcast, like, you are already phenomenal parents.
Yeah. And stop feeling like you're screwing up. Stop that.
You're not screwing up. You're good enough. And we're proud of you, and we're cheering you on. And that's why we do this each and every week, right? Like, we
maybe not all of you. I mean, podcasts. We don't know everyone listening. There could be a mass murderer out there listening. There are probably 5% of you
that are terrible. So just kidding.
Okay. Maybe. So for those 5% that are trouble, no, maybe this episode has brought to mind a few things that you're like, this is a glaring mistake in my parenting that I'm recognizing now. Do I say something to my kids about it? Do I apologize and say, you know, I could have done this better. I wasn't there for you when I should have been. I was absorbed in my own problems and issues. If you're looking back on your parenting, at any point, should you apologize to your kid about
that's a good point. Well, first thing to ask yourself is, did your parents apologize? Because that's a generational thing. Like, virtually all of us, I had good parents, but I don't remember them ever coming up to my room and going, you know, your mom and I would love. No, they didn't do that. So you don't have to. To be honest, I would be careful about that. I think your first thing is to come to terms with yourself, your own self-condemnation, and how are you going to come to peace with that? But then secondly, in some cases, it might be worthwhile to simply let let them know that I do regret this, but I would not overdo that. I have had many parents do that and they overdid it because it ends up implying that, you know, it's really about us that you're having this trouble, and don't do that. That's disrespectful of your teenager. You know, if you're going to apologize, you might do it more with the goal of, I want you to know that I see this and we can talk about it if that comes up. But you might also mention that, you know, my parents never did that. And I really want us to have this kind of relationship, more of that. This is what I'm aiming for in our relationship, not in trying to fix your own development by taking responsibility. That it, adolescence is not the time to be doing that. Actually, no stage is a great time to be doing that. Mm-hmm. And you definitely don't want to be afraid to say, and of course, you know, I turned out okay, but boy, my parents never said, hey, we're having a hard time, but I wanted to be sure and do this with you. You know, it's like being careful, let them know that you'll do fine without me saying this, but we can talk about this. I know I screwed that up. You know, I was gone for all that time or whatever. So yeah, you can do it, but be careful. You are not seeking absolution from your teenager. That is a mistake.
Yeah, because I think part of becoming an adult, and especially when you become a parent yourself, is looking back at the ways your parents raised you, their mistakes and failures and their successes and things that you appreciate that they did, and just finding peace within yourself and grace. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then,
yeah.
And then that helps you.
Yeah, you want to do that first. Parenting. Yeah, you don't want to bring your disruption and your dis-ease and try to get that solved by your teenager saying the right things. You need to first do it within yourself so that you're at peace with it. That's
yeah. Important. Yeah. I mean, like I remember my mom smoked the entire time she was pregnant with me. I've never expected her to apologize for that. You know what I mean? That was just that everybody did.
Everybody the doctor did that.
Smoked mm-hmm. while he was delivering me, you know?
My mom was secretly still smoking some after they quit because it's really tough apparently to stop. But
like I never expected her to apologize for that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, well, that was just the time sense, what they all did.
Yeah. What would you have done with that?
I know.
You know yeah. Like, yeah. Oh, okay. You know, say, say three Hail Marys and you're good. I mean, I don't know what to say to your parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Ken, your statistic earlier in the episode about 30%, I only have to respond to 30%. Man, yeah. I'm going to let myself off the hook a little bit. I do way too much for my kids.
It's a low bar.
I'm going to lower the bar a little bit. No, but I do think it's important to remind ourselves and to remind our listeners that, God fills in the gaps in our parenting. There are a lot of things that we don't know that we can't teach our kids or that we failed to do. And fortunately, it's not all of our responsibility. Thank you, Dr. Ken. Thank you, Ashley.
Thanks for joining us today. Hit the subscribe button so you won't miss an episode. Also, leave us a review. This is how other listeners find our podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Feeding the Mouth.
We appreciate you and would love to hear from you. If you have any questions, thoughts, or ideas about what we've discussed today, please email us at podcast@feedingthemouth.com.